You're tuned to Booked on Katie and Kay. Today is my very last edition of Booked, since Tuesday, June 30th, will be my last day on staff here. And it has been my pleasure to bring you this program on Thursdays over the past year. Coming up, we'll hear from Sarah Mead, the manager of KZMU Community Radio in Moab. First, I want to take a moment to thank my guests on Booked over the past year. Thank you so much to author Becky Lomax, Katie and Kay's own Lucas Turner, Brent Gardner-Smith of Aspen Journalism, author Mira Sukharov, Light of the Moon publisher Elisa Onmacht, Andrew Travers of the Aspen Times, Maddie Vincent of the Snowmass Sun, columnist Sloan Shoemaker, Larry Rickman of the Colorado Sun, author Casey Ray, Jennifer Brown of the Colorado Sun, Colorado College journalism professor Corey Hutchins was on the program twice, freelance writer Tim Cooney, reporter M. John Fahey, Nick Bolin of High Country News, Sue McMillan of the Colorado Sun, Megan Tackett of the Aspen Daily News was on twice, Felicia Fonseca of the Associated Press, student journalist Sarah Teague from the Olive Branch, Rio Blanco Herald Times editor Nikki Turner, Susan Green of the Colorado Independent on the show twice, author Jerry Mueller, Aspen Times reporter Carolyn Zachariasen, Aspen Daily News reporter Allison Bechtesh, Aspen Journalism reporter Heather Sackett was on twice, Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition director Jeff Roberts, Robbie McBeth from the Benton Institute for Broadband and Society, Tamara Chong from the Colorado Sun, Colorado Public Radio reporter Benta Berkland, Michael Roberts from Westword, Brandon Stiller of the Colorado Channel and Open Media Foundation, Statehouse reporter Scott Franz, host of Capital Coverage, reporter Ed Williams from Searchlight New Mexico, Post-Independent publisher Jerry Rahal, comedian and author Adam Caton Holland, Post-Independent reporter John Stroud, KD&K and Soper Sun reporter Kathleen Shannon, Scott Condon of the Aspen Times, Colorado Sun reporter Mo Clark, Aspen Sojourner editor-in-chief Cindy Hirschfeld, Misinformation Watch director Sandra Fish from First Draft, Colorado Public Radio Western Slope reporter Stina Sieg, Chalkbeat Colorado reporter Jason Gonzalez, reporter Elizabeth Miller from New Mexico In Depth, and local activists, musicians, and educators, Let Them Roar. I'd also like to thank KD&K volunteer Abby Gerke for filling in on the show a couple times to interview authors. You can hear all of these archives on our website at kdnk.org. Lastly, I want to thank Soper's Sun newspaper editor Will Grambois, who appeared on the show 5 times this past year. He's the champion. It still didn't feel like we heard from him often enough, though. And if any of you talk to Will, tell him to get a show on KD&K again when he can. Thank you so much, Will, and all of the folks at the Soper's Sun. You're tuned to Booked on KD&K, and it's time to introduce our guest for this week, Sarah Mead, manager of KZMU Community Radio in Moab. Thanks for speaking with me, Sarah.
Hey, Gavin. Thank you for having me.
Well, having you on the show today means that I've officially interviewed women as often as men on this show, so that's a step in the right direction.
Did you count?
I counted. Well, I was making the list, so I went ahead and counted them up. We did not do very well on ethnic diversity of my guests, only about, you know, fewer than 10 total guests of color that I know of. I mean, I certainly didn't ask everybody their demographic information before speaking with them, but I'm really proud to see that we featured women voices as frequently as we did male voices on the show. So at least that's heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I love it. There's so many incredible women and people identifying as women in the community radio industry and just in our nation. It was something that I was really struck by when I first kind of stepped on the scene. So I'm glad to hear that they've been present on KD&K's airwaves.
Well, and as you heard from the list, a lot of mostly Colorado-focused reporters, others around the region. I like that you're my final guest on the show before I hand over the reins as manager here, because I see you as a big part of the future of community radio, not just the present. We are both 80s babies and two of the youngest managers in public broadcasting. Have you felt like KZMU has had an essential role to play during this pandemic?
Yes, absolutely. Mostly within our kind of local and regional area, but this, you know, it's kind of bittersweet in a sense, because the pandemic happened, you know, there's never a good time for a global pandemic, but there was definitely an interesting shift in the presence of KZMU as a community radio station to our listeners, specifically during this time. I mean, we've been on the air for 28 years, and as you and your listeners are aware, community radio is something that's just always on 24/7, regardless if you support it or not. And this was a time when people really relied on it. Much more than usual, I got people calling in to say how KZMU was their lifeline. And it was really eye-opening for me and pretty profound, because I have always thought that public media and live local voices on the air is so integral to, you know, the sense of one's place in their community. And to hear that echoed back by the listeners so many times was like, this is beautiful. This is sad, obviously, for what's going on, but this is also quite beautiful.
Well, and in terms of KD&K closing down the building to volunteers for 2 months and then slowly phasing folks back in, what was your experience with that decision you had to make as the decider at KZMU?
Yeah, that was tough. We closed our doors to DJs on March 16th, and it was such a strange time, because literally a week and a half before we had, or a week before maybe, we had debuted our fifth annual original live radio drama to a sold-out house in downtown Moab. You know, we oversold the first night, so, you know, the opposite of social distancing. And then about a week later, we were shutting down the door, you know, shutting the doors and telling DJs to stay home and staff to stay home. And that was just so quick how things shifted, like almost literally 7 or 8 days, and the world was in a completely different place. And so I've been recalling that time frame as basically being in fight or flight mode. Like, the decision was not hard for me, because from what I understood, the health and safety of my community relied on it. And I absolutely did not want to be the person standing in the way of you know, somebody's health. So it was complicated. There was no rule book to go by.
That's
we were
sure.
making things up as we went, definitely relying on our sister stations like KD&K and KBUT to see what are other stations doing and how can we do something that is smart and measured, not overreactive, but also, you know, very much so appropriate. And and that's kind of how I moved forward. You know, it started with making that hard email to write to the DJs with not a ton of information. And then slowly, as we got things together, we were able to release a little bit more information, some resource materials, and we just basically increased digital and phone communication with all of our DJs to the point where we still felt like we had that tight-knit connection with them. And they started recording their shows from home, and they were some of my favorite shows that I've heard so far as a person related to KZMU.
Well, and both of our stations serve areas that are driven in part by tourism economy dollars, and I'm curious what your message is as the manager of a volunteer-based nonprofit in Moab to people here in the Roaring Fork Valley who are considering a vacation to the desert this summer. I mean, listeners to KD&K take a little bit for granted that we've got two great hospitals here, one in Aspen and one in Glenwood Springs. There's a third in Rifle. We certainly have listeners out there, so I should say three great hospitals. It feels like you guys are not quite so fortunate in terms of the resources if the outbreak were to worsen.
We definitely are not. We have one small hospital, small but mighty, as many of the things are here in Moab. It's an incredible place with an incredible staff, but it just doesn't have the resources that other hospitals have in bigger areas. At the time of the outbreak, like right around when we closed doors to DJs, we had 4 quarantinable beds and 3 ventilators or something like that. Some 2 or 3 of each of those things.
Wow.
And it was really frightening, because what we were hearing about was what was happening in New York. And the spring is the most explosive time in this town in terms of tourism. And so the locals were really, really frightened. At this point now, the hospital has done a lot of pivots to increase their, you know, capacity to manage a surge of some kind, which is great. But we still just have the one hospital. And, you know, our industry here, the people who work here, their exposure to tourists and all of the places that those tourists have been, I mean, that's just kind of going up and up and up. So I guess my message to people, you know, from the Western Slope area and even, you know, northern Utah who want to come down here is I would take a beat and ask yourself if it is really essential travel and potentially opt out. I mean, I think that's a hard decision we're all having to make right now because of COVID fatigue, as I've been calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of them too. My family is in the process right now of trying to make the decision if we take our annual trip to see our, you know, like our friend family that we don't get to see any other time, or if we have to just make that hard choice of saying, like, this isn't the right time. It's not appropriate. And yes, we might be totally safe and they might be totally safe and we could all get tested before and after, but there's a sense of privilege in that. And maybe the better thing to do would just be to say, let's just hunker down and for the sake of everybody, just not go. And it's also hard to say that too, because our industry relies on your listeners who come out and enjoy Moab, mm-hmm. Moab's geography, Moab's culture. So it's a hard time for sure. There's lots of contradictions.
My guest is KZMU Community Radio Moab station manager, Sarah Mead. We are coalition partners in the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition. Your reporter, Molly Marcello, has been doing consistently good work, and KD&K has had the chance to play her stories quite a bit over the past year. Does your station think about that regional perspective on news the way ours does? We really value getting to share stories from other newsrooms, not just from KD&K. Are you guys kind of on that same wavelength?
Yeah, we are. Thanks for bringing that up. Molly is amazing. I mean, I'm absolutely biased because she's on my team, but she's an incredible reporter, and she's such an integral part of this station. And I know that Molly's, you know, her journalistic choices and then the programs that we collaborate on in conversation, we're always thinking about, first and foremost, what's important to our immediate community, our immediate listeners. What do they need from us as a public broadcasting station? But we're always looking out farther, you know, because Moab is such a rural town and it's in the middle of a big old rural county, Grand County, and right on the edge of San Juan County, and even larger, right on the edge of Utah and the Navajo Nation. And, you know, so we're always kind of expanding out and trying to make sure that we're serving a bigger audience and lifting up marginalized voices in other places as well. And, yeah, Molly kind of handpicks the programs or the newscasts and the public affairs programs that happen on KZMU to be the ones that would be most appropriate to share with our regional partners in RIMCOR. And it's always really exciting when they get shared, because there's just that further, further connection with our sister stations and kind of expanding this idea that we don't all just live in a bubble. You know, it's not just the Moab bubble and the Carbondale bubble. It's we're all kind of like in this greater region together experiencing the same things. So it's really, really cool.
Well, KZMU hosted the annual conference for the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition this past November. Did that strengthen your station's connection to the kind of more Colorado-based community radio scene, having so many of us on your home turf? It was a great conference. Thank you, by the way.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Man, that feels like literally a lifetime ago.
So long ago, yeah.
So wild to think that was just in November. But
would you care to share buffet from our local chefs? It's like, no, never doing that ever again. Damn.
I know. So many things that we did that we probably can never do again. For example, speed dating networking. Probably can't do that again. Yeah, that really did. I mean, what was really exciting about that for me as station manager here is thinking back on the history of RIMCOR and its earlier iterations of High Country Radio Coalition, HCRIC, and KZMU's participation in that, and how it just felt so validating and so empowering to be able to say and demonstrate as a station, we can handle organizing a conference like this. We can definitely manage this many people. We can, you know, it was a big deal. And KZMU has been through a lot in the last 5 years, including being defunded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, having almost a 100% staff turnover, two different managers in that course of time, and to be able to be in a position to say, not only can we host this, but we're going to do a good job of it, was so awesome. And I really also felt, you know, it was reciprocated. I felt the love from everybody who came. And I think it kind of sparked some excitement for all the future conferences, and definitely instigated some long-lasting friendships. There are people, you know, I made connections with people at that conference in the community radio world, and, you know, from Colorado stations that I still frequently look to for support, guidance, and laughter, all that stuff. It's great.
You were first promoted from music director to station manager back in 2018. I know you and I share an obsession with new music. Why do you think discovery, yeah, the idea that part of community radio's educational mission is to turn listeners on to music they haven't heard before, is so vital? I mean, you come out of that, the music minds, and are in this new role as a manager now for 2 years. But that music background is a huge part of how you see community radio, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, I love this question. Thank you for that. I don't get to think about new music discovery as much anymore, mm-hmm, being the GM.
Mm-hmm.
But it absolutely is. It's, you know, and I think it can, that sentiment can extend into just new content, new conversations, hearing from new voices, new perspectives in the community. You know, I'm always standing by this idea of lifting up marginalized voices in general. And a lot of that also comes from music. You know, I think it's been really heartening to see so many people focusing on artists of color in the current civil rights movement. And my hope is that it's not just a fad,
mm-hmm,
you know, that people continue to lift up voices of color and musicians of color all the time now, because the truth of the matter is new music is being made every second of every day across the entire world. And community radio stations get a very small slice of that, depending on who their distributors are and how their music director works. And the DJs really are the people who bring that to light, especially now. I mean, you can go both ways with how media is becoming so digitized. And in some ways, it's unfortunate because you lose that tactile nature of the CD or the record, and you lose the direct relationship of you play CD, artist gets money. But with streaming services and media being available online, discovery has exploded. I mean, it's so easy to go down a rabbit hole of genre or artist or collaborator and build a really, really exciting show. And I'm so proud of DJs that do that. And I think that it's, yeah, to answer your question finally, I think that it's so vital and it's so important as a factor of community radio, because it keeps people growing. You know, it keeps your mind sharp, it keeps your ear sharp, and it keeps your awareness of other people and other things sharp. And the last thing that we need to do as, you know, as communities is to forget about the other, forget about the people outside of our immediate bubble. And so being introduced to new music all the time, I think, helps with that.
Well, I feel like the foundation of community radio is public service So weather reports, news reporting, road closures, emergency coverage, you know, we do a lost and found pet report here. And then the community access, the community access for our friends and neighbors, in my mind, it sort of sits kind of on top of that baseline of public service that we offer. I often say to staff here, like, the work that we do that is, makes us essential in the eyes of people who don't understand community radio is that public service stuff. And it allows us the freedom to let our freak flag fly and to have our friends and neighbors play the music they want to play or express themselves. Do you know what I mean about public service versus community access? How do you see that dichotomy at a station that isn't supported by federal dollars and doesn't carry NPR? In some ways, you have more freedom, but then you also don't have the same resources to do those essential things.
Yeah, I like the way that you you kind of break that down. We often refer to ourselves as fiercely independent as a community radio station, and we do have a lot more freedoms in terms of what we can air and when we can air it and how we can air it. Of course, like, you know, this is my boring manager voice coming on. Of course, like, in line with FCC guidelines and the IRS, but there's also it is a challenge to figure out what is appropriate, and I think, or what is needed in terms of access and public service. And Moab has a really high number of nonprofits per capita. I don't know the exact number, but it's unusually high. And so Moab in general as a community has, there's already this language of community service and public service and volunteerism and word of mouth and get the word out. So KZMU, luckily, is just sort of on the top of everybody's minds. When there's something happening and people need to know about it, you tell KZMU first. So we don't have to worry so much about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of keeping people up to speed on what's happening regionally and, you know, and nationally, we don't really even go there. We keep it very close. And we do have to work a little bit harder to make sure that we're touching all the bases. We rely pretty heavily on our volunteer hosts and the news department. And we try to make sure that our hosts have the resources that they need. And we're really just slam dunk public affairs hosts that ask amazing questions and have the connections to bring, you know, bring programming to the air that is of service to the community and connecting locals with the resources they might need.
We just have a couple minutes left. Your station calls itself Freeform Community Radio. What does freeform mean?
Freeform. Well, I think it can be interpreted many ways. Moab is very much so, in a lot of ways, it still embodies the, or still hopes to embody, I think, the kind of Ed, Abbey, Wild West nature of things. And I think free form is part of that. The other thing is that we emphasize that we are totally open format. So by calling ourselves free form, we kind of take open format to the next level. There are a few things that are obviously regularly scheduled. They happen at the same time on certain days, and they have a certain vibe. But for the most part, you know, if we have a slot that's held down by big band brass music, if that DJ decides to retire, that slot is essentially up for grabs.
Right.
And the basic parameters that we provide is, like, as long as it's something that goes good at from 9 to 11 p.m., it can go there, you know. And I think that type of freedom of form is what helps us attract such interesting DJs.
Well, and of course, we don't tell the DJs what to play. That's part of the nature of
freeform,
too, is that you and I, as the boss, don't come into the room and say, you can't play X, you have to play Y. You know, so that's
another
way I see it. Well, we have time for one last question. You've learned a lot in 2 years on the job. KZMU has been growing and evolving, and you've had a lot of success there. I went back and read a profile of you from the National Federation of Community Broadcasters that first summer you were in charge of your station, and you were answering a question about what you have to unlearn to be a good manager. You said, unlearn reaction and learn response. Can you explain?
Yeah, thanks for that blast from the past. That is something that I've come to learn a lot in managing from a place of understanding resistance and managing with empathy. And reaction to me is coming from a place of fear. So when something happens and you react to it, it's the knee jerk, it's the fight or flight, it's coming from a place of fear. And that is inevitable in a lot of ways. And responding, from what I understand and from the way that I try to act, is coming from a place of understanding and of love, which is a bit slower. It's more open. Responding is being able to think about and look for the third option. There's always a third option, never A or B. Or sometimes it is, but, you know, if it isn't, there's always option C. And taking it a little bit slower and taking more things into account.
So more deliberate than knee-jerk.
Yeah, it's more deliberate, and it's just, I mean, I think that I can't, you know, the best way for me, the way I think of things is are you coming from a place of fear or are you coming from a place of love? And that can be pretty woo-woo, but you can also definitely corporatize that language as well.
Well, hopefully you and I don't have to, you know, hopefully our stations don't have to corporatize things too much. But in terms of the work that you've done, obviously serving 3 years as music director and now 2 years as station manager, we know that you are doing great work at KZMU. While there's a part of me that wants to see you, jump the lily pad to the biggest and best thing you could possibly do, there's also a part of me that wants you to be at KZMU forever, because I feel like it's what Moab needs, and you know, you've got what plants crave. So I don't know. I'm just really excited to wrap up the era of this show, Booked on KD&K, getting to highlight you. And I hope that folks will consider supporting the radio station in Moab, and certainly listening when it's safe to travel there. How do folks find KZMU and support it?
Yeah, well, when you're in Moab, you can pick us up at 90.1 and 106.7 FM, and that signal actually reaches all the way to the Colorado border and then up in Green River, and people have heard it all the way out at Ghost Rock going west and down into Monticello and almost Blanding. And so it's a pretty big scope on the 90.1 FM signal. And then when you're abroad, you know, in KDNK's reach, you can also pick us up at kzmu.org. And thank you so much for saying that. And I would echo the same thing. I mean, I think listeners supporting community radio, no matter where you are, is extremely important. And they've been, KD&K has been lucky to have you. And so much luck on your next journey. And I'm so excited that you're still going to be within the sisterhood of community radio stations and we can keep it going.
Amen, sister. Sarah Mead, thanks for joining me. KZMU Moab, over and out.
Thank you.